Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Anyway, I want to share with you the release of miracle working power is the title of the message I want to share with you this morning. And going back in Matthew, it's almost 2 weeks now, I was just in my reading, I was reading in Matthew, and came to the end of chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, which talks about Jesus healing multitudes of people. And it was like in that moment, the Lord just arrested me, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, "Man, do you know you're meant to be like Jesus?" And I thought, flip, I'm a long way from that. Multitudes being healed, but it started me on a journey. And so this morning, I want to share with you some things. And I felt initially God dealing with me, but I felt, no, I need to share this with you. Because I believe it's time for the church to step up in genuine faith and conviction of the... How many know God honors his word? He watches over his word to bring it to pass.
Yeah.
His promises are true.
Yeah.
They yes and amen. Mm. Jesus said yes and we go and amen. And you know, so I want to say to you today, get ready for a power encounter.
Yeah.
Because it says this in Psalm 107 and verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. There's healing in the word of God.
Yeah.
And when we align ourselves with that, and you know, sometimes we can read scripture and not personalize it, not take it on board. When it says, you know, he sent his word and healed them, I need to say, God sends his word and he heals me. How many know he's the same God today as he was yesterday? He never changes.
Yeah.
His word is always true.
Yeah.
And then we just make the declaration and praise him for it. And I do believe as we look into the word of God today, God is wanting to shift some things in our minds. And I believe people are going to get healed and set free of stuff just by the entrance of the word. And what God will do for one person, he'll do for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Everybody that comes to him, we're all the same. T.L. Osborne, I don't know how many of you know that name, but he's been around, you know, years ago. He's been gone for a while. He wrote a book called Healing the Sick, which I got hold of quite a number of years ago. And even at that stage, it was over 1 million had been sold. And it is an awesome book. If you want something to read, get a hold of it. It's just called Healing the Sick by T.L. Osborne. Powerful book. And he writes this. When you confess God's word, your confession brings healing to you. When you confess your sickness, your confession keeps you sick. Always confess God's word.
Yeah.
Even when you have contradictory feelings, confess the word.
Yeah.
Confessing God's word always wins. His word heals today. Holding fast your confession of healing in the face of natural contradictions verifies that your faith is established in the Bible and God's word is always the victor. When you declare by his stripes I am healed, your words bind Satan's hands. He is defeated and he knows it. The word of God is the greatest weapon on earth to use against Satan.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying. And it reminded me that during the great temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, he defeated the enemy with one simple thing. Said three times, it is written, quoted a scripture that was relevant. And it says in verse 11 of Matthew 4, the devil left him and angels came and ministered to him. How many know he's our example? We meant to think like he thinks, speak like he speaks, and walk in his ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Romans 10:17, we all know it. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Mm.
So we don't need to pray for greater faith. We need to get into the word, believe the word, not just read the word, but allow it to speak to us.
Yeah.
And in Hebrews 11:1, we get the definition of what faith is. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is the substance of things we hope for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is the evidence of things not seen. The Amplified puts it this way. Faith is conviction of their reality. It's a conviction of their reality. And then it goes on in the Amplified, says, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith is perceiving, seeing as a real fact what you're not getting in your senses. If we are led by our senses, we are never going to access the miracle working power of God. Because our senses are natural, it locks us in to natural things, not supernatural things. And convictions are really life changing. It's not hope, it's not wishful thinking, it's an absolute assurance of the real fact. Because God watches over his word to bring it to pass. Every promise in the book is for you, it's for me to take a hold of, but unless I take a hold of it, stand on it in the midst of the opposition, confess that instead of confessing what my senses are showing me, I'm never going to step over into the provision of all that God has. In 1 John 5 and verse 4, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's how we defeat the enemy. That's how we defeat every opposition. When he comes to rob us, to steal from us, to mess up our life. No, no, you overcome them by faith. Your mouth can be filled with faith words that overcome everything the world and the devil will throw at you. It says in Romans 10 and verse 8, the word is near to you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Faith. Faith is the foundation of Christian life. And I want to suggest to you there is a progression for us all. And it goes like this. Faith, that absolute confidence in the Word of God, develops trust in our lives. And out of trust, you get to a place of rest. And out of rest, you can have peace and you can have joy. And if we haven't got concrete faith that enables us to totally trust God, regardless of circumstances and everything else, we're never going to come to a place of rest. And because you're not rested, you're never going to have peace and you're never going to have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But it's not the joy of our circumstances. It's the joy of knowing God, knowing He's true, knowing He's real. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. His promises are true. And eternal life is not life after death. It's God's lifestyle here and now. You have eternal life. We're meant to live in the kingdom life, in the life of heaven, here and now, regardless of what's going on. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you're not at rest in your spirit, you're meant to lean into Him. And go, hey, I've got this burden, I've got this pressure, I'm feeling this, and He will give you rest. It says in Hebrews 4, 9 through 11, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. In other words, you're not striving, you're not struggling, you're not wrestling with things. And verse 11 says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. The only thing that we're meant to be striving about is getting into the presence of God in faith and rest and peace and joy and being in that place where we're living above the circumstances that we're in. How many know you already are above them? You're seated with Christ in heavenly places, but if your heart and mind and words are not reflecting that, well, then you will come under the influence of of the world and our experiences and all of that sort of thing. It says in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God's not eating and drinking, so it's not talking about natural things, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, there should be peace and joy out of the Spirit of God as we lean into the Holy Ghost, standing on His promises, believing them, confessing them. It says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. It's our responsibility to not let fear dominate in our heart, thinking, speaking, whatever. And then He says, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Don't even get dismayed. Come on, somebody. How many know this is challenging? Not for you, eh? Or you're smarter than me. When God started to deal with me with this, I've been kind of going, gosh, it took me back to some stuff that was happening in the 80s, actually. And I thought, gosh, how have I gone and drifted from that in the way I've been thinking? Yeah. How many of the enemy wants to rob you of your inheritance?
Right.
He wants to rob you of all of that. Because he says, fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. In other words, I'll hold you up and enable you to walk in the right ways of God. That's what the word righteousness means. The right ways of God. And so repentance. Repentance is not just confessing my sin. It does involve that. Repentance is a change of mind. And a change of direction. And as we all know, Romans 12:2 says you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm praying today that we'll get our minds renewed. I believe it's time to go to another level of faith and expectation, because otherwise we're not going to, we'll get to that. We're not going to be able to carry what we're meant to carry and outwork what we're meant to outwork, either in our own lives or in other people's lives. It says in 1 John 5:14-15, now this is the confidence that we have in him. Listen to this. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked him. How many know that's a powerful statement? Yeah. If you pray anything, asking for anything according to his will, you know you've got the answer.
Yeah.
How many know it's God's will that we live in health and freedom all of our life?
Yes.
We live freedom from fear. We live free from everything the devil wants to throw at us. We have victory over the enemy. I don't know why people go around scared of the devil. The Bible says that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, that you've got authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm. But if you keep thinking about the devil and focusing on that, walking in fear of this, that, and the other, well, that's going to be your experience, because that's your confession. That's what you're declaring over your life.
Yeah.
But if you will declare, the devil has no authority. You're seated with him in heavenly places. Jesus defeated him publicly on the cross and through the resurrection. And we have the victory that Jesus won. How many know we walk in victory because he's won the victory, and he's got authority. His name is authority over heaven and earth. And he says, now go in my name. I've got all authority. But you've got to know what his will is. Well, that's easy enough. Just read your Bible. It's in the book. And one of the things that we read in the English translation through the New Testament is the word salvation. And salvation comes from the Greek word sozo. And the Greek word sozo means more than what we consider to be salvation. It does mean redeemed, but it also means healed and delivered. Jesus paid the price for all of that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
All of it. And that's what, when we commit our lives to him, all of that is ours.
Yeah.
But if that's not our focus, not our confession, not what we're standing on, then we will live with other things. Because your words are creative. And confessing his word in the face of opposition and every attack of the enemy and every circumstance of life. The will of God as revealed in his word. I want you to look at this passage in Psalm 103 with me. I just wanted to dump a whole lot of the word on you today. Is that okay?
Yes.
I just feel like God wants to rock our world a bit and take us a bit further, a bit deeper. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I want you to catch hold of that. Everything within me. It's talking about passion, intensity, the fire of God. No, everything within me focused on him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How many know we, from time to time, if you're anything like me, you do forget some of his benefits? No, don't forget his benefits, because that's the foundation of our life. Who forgives all your iniquities. There is no sin big enough, worse enough, for him not to forgive. The blood of Jesus covers it all.
Yes.
And he forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases.
Yes.
Not just some, no, all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Every time the enemy circumstances want to come and wreck your life, no, he will, in other words, he'll draw you out of that. He'll redeem you from it. He's paid the price for you to walk in freedom.
Yeah.
How many know that we sometimes forget that? Things happen and we come under the influence of it instead of standing on it. We say, no, Jesus paid the price for me to be free of that. Yeah. Get out of my life, devil.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Bible doesn't say that we're not going to walk through challenging times. But what it does say, he'll never leave us or forsake us.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't deliver us from something, he'll give us the power to walk through it. Yeah. You know, when you shake the bed, make the bed, and hit the bed, you go, got into the fire. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God didn't pull them out of the fire. He got in the fire with them.
Yeah.
Walked with them. And when they came out, there wasn't even the smell of smoke on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. Forget not all his benefits. Forgives all your sin, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Yeah. That's what he wants to crown on your life. Loving kindness and his mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And we know he wants to feed you well.
Yeah.
So the youth is renewed, healthy eating. And now the verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Walk in the fear of God, not in the fear of circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not in the fear of what the devil wants to put on you. No, walk in the fear of God. That means walking in his ways, his word, all of that kind of thing. And notice what it says. His mercy is so great, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Any idea how far that is? It's pretty huge. He's saying that's the measure, or gives you a picture of my mercy toward you.
Yeah.
As far as the east is from the west, he's removed our sins from us.
Hmm.
How far is it from the east to the west? Well, the east way down there, and the west, he's forgotten your sins. He's hidden them. He's thrown them in the sea of his forgetfulness, the scripture says.
Ooh.
As a father pities his children, the Lord pities those who fear him. And he has compassion for us. Why? Because he knows our frame and remembers that we're dust.
Mm.
He knows what we're like. He knows the struggle. So he has mercy towards us, compassion towards us. And he's paid the price for us to be able to live beyond the capacity of our natural abilities and circumstances.
Yeah.
You getting something out of this morning?
Yeah.
This has been rocking my world for the last few days.
So good.
And it's only just started. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it'll be done for you. There's a condition with all the promises of God. He's saying, now, if you abide in me, a place of intimacy, of obedience, if you come into alignment with the word of God, abide in the word. Let the word abide in you. So it dictates everything to us about our life, how we do life, the way we think, the way we speak, the way we behave, our perspective of the future, and all of those kind of things. Every promise. But it's amazing. If you'll do that, you'll ask whatever you desire and it'll be done for you. You can ask whatever you want, it'll be done for you. I mean, that's a pretty amazing promise right there.
Yeah.
Something for us to stand on. And can I just say to you, with all the predictions going on around the world about everything going nuts, how many other worlds gone crazy, and it looks like our nation is being wrecked in so many different ways, and the nations, particularly in the Western world, are undergoing it. But you know what? We need to be not declaring that and not focused on that. We need to be declaring what God has said, what he's promised,
yeah,
and what his intention is at the end of the age,
yeah,
is that the whole of the earth will be covered with the knowledge of the glory of God,
yeah,
as the waters cover the sea. In other words, not just the glory of God, but the knowledge of it. That means everywhere there's going to be manifestations of his presence, his power, signs and wonders and miracles that enable people to know, oh, that's God. You know, that's amazing. That's God.
Yeah.
That's what's on the agenda. That's what our focus should be. That's what our expectation should be. And if you heard me say a few times over recent weeks, the gatherings around the world of thousands of people right now are just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just amazing. James 5:14-16. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick.
Mm.
The Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. And it's about humility, but it's about standing on the word. It's about the first, you know, just praying for one another. We need to confess our sins. We need to be ministering to one another that we might be healed. And we'll come to some of that in a few minutes. But the first covenant given to Israel when they left Egypt, and with the revelation of the first of the covenant names of God, Jehovah Rapha, it's found in Exodus 15, through 25 through 26. It talks about when they came to the bitter waters. There was no water in the desert, and when they got to the water, it was bitter. And so he tested them with that to see what their response would be. And he made a covenant with them, it says. He made a statute or a covenant with them, an ordinance for them. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. In other words, this is the condition of the promise. To do it right, that means walking in obedience to the word. It's like Jesus said at the end of of chapter 7 of Matthew, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, those that do the things I've taught will be like people that build their house on the rock. Yeah. He didn't say if they hear it or they're being it. But no, if you do these things, then you'll be like somebody that's built on a rock and the storms of life won't mess you around. But if you don't do those things, the storms will come and you'll collapse. It's the same sort of thing here. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, do what's right in his sight, I will put none of the diseases on you which you brought on the Egyptians or on the ungodly, for I am the Lord who heals you.
Yeah.
I want you to notice it doesn't say I was the Lord who heals you. He said I am. How do we know God's the same God today? Yes. Forever.
Yeah.
The Lord spoke to me about this many, many years ago. And Daryl would tell you, for years, almost every morning, I used to walk around because I felt the Lord say to me, I'm the Lord that heals you. I'm not allowed to come upon you the diseases that come on the ungodly. And for years I walked around, I'd lay hands on myself. It's just lay hands on the sick. I don't say whose hands. I'd lay hands on myself and go, I take authority over every trace of sickness and disease, and I evict you out of my life. Because the Lord God, you said to me, I'm the Lord that heals you, and I'm not allowed to come upon you the diseases on ungodly. And I do believe that's why I've lived I've had some attacks on my health. I've been through some challenges. But at the same time, here I am, 80 years of age, and I've got no medical conditions at all.
Yeah.
I don't have any issues. I do have a few things that challenge me, but it's been interesting. One of the things that's been really challenging me over recent times is sleep. A number of years ago, I got diagnosed with moderate sleep apnea, and in the tests I was waking 20 on average 24 times an hour through my sleep, and then in more recent months I've been averaging four and a half hours a night of sleep, even though I'd be in bed for 8 hours or whatever. But since this came, I've started to change my confession, and my, not that I'd accepted it. And I was praying against it, but it's not about praying, it's about your confession and your conviction.
Yeah.
And not taking notice of the symptoms. Well, last night I slept 6.5 hours.
Yeah.
And while I'm still waking a bit in between times, I'm getting better and better. Sometimes God heals you instantly, sometimes it's progressive. And I'm just saying, I don't have sleep apnea anymore, and I don't have insomnia anymore, because the word of God declares, Jesus said, by my stripes you were healed.
Yeah.
You were healed. I've been healed. You were healed back on the cross.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Psalm 105 and verse 37. This is the confirmation of that covenant that God made with Israel. And bear in mind, when Israel came out of Egypt, the estimation is about 2.5 million people. So he said to 2.5 million people, if you walk in my ways, I'll not allow the disease to come on you, because I'm the Lord that heals you. David records in Psalm 105 and verse 37 the confirmation of that, where years later He also says this, he also bought them out with silver and gold. We know they came out with the wealth of Egypt. And he said that, and there was none feeble among all the tribes. They were 40 years in the wilderness. If you read your Bible, none of them ever got sick. In fact, their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't wear out. How many of you would be favored? You'd love to be wearing the same shoes and clothes for 40 years. Probably not. But it's amazing. God, miracles are normal. And Jesus modeled the will of God throughout his life. And he expressed that covenant that God had made with Israel many years earlier. In fact, he said in John 6:38, "For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." So when you see everything Jesus did, it was a reflection of the will and intentions of God. The total healing and health of all that came to him, and walking in the ways of his Father's covenant and promise and will. And you see every kind of sickness you can imagine, and disease and cripples and whatever else, walking, and the dead being raised. And John 5:19. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Yeah. In John 14:9, he says, "Who has seen me has seen the Father." Yeah. So everything he did is a reflection of the Father's will and intention.
Yeah,
it's a revelation of heaven,
yeah,
and it's a manifestation of God's love, of his power, and of his intention to minister total healing, total deliverance, total freedom, total salvation to all that come to him.
Yeah.
You've got the lot, and it's called Jesus.
Yeah.
It's, and it's revealed in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Jesus paid the price for our healing and a whole bunch of other stuff. And it was prophesied by Isaiah 53:4-5. You know these words, I'm sure. "Surely he has borne our griefs." Well, actually, the word there that's translated griefs in other places of the Old Testament is translated sickness and disease. Surely he has borne our sickness and disease. And in fact, in Matthew 7:18, it says he carried them away. So if he carried them away, what are you doing with them? What am I doing with them? It's the devil. How many know there is no sickness and disease in heaven?
Yeah.
There's no sickness and disease in the kingdom of God. It came as a result of the fall. It's part of the devil's work and the consequence of walking in sin and walking disobedient, walking away from God. But when we come back to God, we get reinstated back to what the Garden of Eden was before the fall.
Yeah.
That relationship of intimacy with God, walking with him, talking with him, and everything that comes out of that. And so he carried away our sickness. He carried our sorrows. The word for sorrows is translated pains in other places. So he's borne our sickness and disease. He's carried our pains. Now we saw him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted, but it makes it clear it wasn't because he did anything wrong. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, which means self-will, by the way. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. We should never lose our peace because he paid the price for our peace.
Yeah.
And if we lose our peace, it's because we've aligned with the wrong spirit.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've started to think incorrectly.
Yep.
And respond incorrectly. We've denied the word and the ways of God. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's the prophecy of Isaiah. But then when you come across the New Testament in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter writes, he, speaking of Jesus himself, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. How many understand that when Jesus died, you and I died with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Died in him. So we have died to sin.
Yeah.
So that we're not to be ruled by sin anymore, but we're to walk in righteousness, live for righteousness. Mm. Righteousness, the right ways of God. And it goes on to say, by whose stripes you were healed. Not you're going to be healed. No, you were healed.
Yeah, really good.
And I want you to know this. On exactly the same basis as Jesus dealt with sin and darkness, he also dealt with our sickness and disease.
Yeah.
And both are evidence of the fall and the works of the devil, which Jesus came to destroy. But there's a battle. How many know the enemy will put on you whatever we accept?
Mm.
You'll trap us in whatever we're trapped in.
Yeah.
And sometimes the walk of faith, as Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. I want you to understand when he said lay hold of eternal life, it's not talking about lay hold of life after death. Mm. It's lay hold of the life that God has given you here and now.
Yeah.
There should be no change, and this is ridiculous, but when you think about it, biblically, there should be no change between our lifestyle here and our lifestyle in heaven.
Yeah.
Because we've already been given eternal life.
Yeah.
And so that means you have to ignore the symptoms and the pain and just keep your focus on God and his covenant and his promises and walk it out. I remember reading about a book of Smith Wigglesworth a number of years ago. And he tells a story about a woman who had a large goiter that was hanging down under her chin. And she came to him for ministry, and he ministered to her, and she began to testify that she was healed. She said, I've been healed of this, you know, of my goiter, you know. We should never say that, should we? Of my goiter. No, it's not your goiter. It's never yours. It's something the devil put on you. And so she used to testify that she had been healed when Smith Wigglesworth prayed for her, but the goiter was still there. And it went on for an extended period of time. She would stand up in the church and so on, wherever she was, and testify, you know, I got healed of a goiter when Smith Wigglesworth prayed for me. And after, I think if I remember correctly, it went for 2 years. I might be wrong about that, but it was certainly a long time. And then she had people saying to her, what do you mean you've been healed? You've still got the goiter. We can see it. That night she went to bed and she said to the Lord, Lord, I know I was healed. You know I was healed. Can you please get rid of this thing so other people know I was healed? She woke up in the morning, it had gone. And how many know that's a tough thing? When you've got it and you go, I was healed. I was healed. In Jesus' name, I was healed. But sometimes you've got to walk it out. I wonder how many of us would have kept saying that rather than going, oh, I thought I was getting healed, but God didn't heal me. Now I've got this. And I'm not standing on the word anymore.
Yeah.
And my declaration and my confession is that I'm claiming that as mine now. And it's mine, and I've got to live with it. Because that's my confession.
Come on.
You see, in John 3, I mean, we respect medical profession and grateful for their help, but we need to keep our focus on God and on his promises, on his word, because he never fails.
Yeah, that's great.
And I don't know whether you're aware of it or not, but doctors are generally called practicing physicians. So they're just practicing. It's not a totally accurate science. That's why they'll go, or try this medication, see if that works. And try something. Now, I'm not being critical of it, but that's a reality.
Yes.
And we can buy into that, or we can stand on the word.
Yeah, so good.
And stand on
so
the promises
good.
Of God. John 3, verse 6, which you know so well, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So things initiated from a natural mindset, or initiated from our natural senses, what we're seeing, what we're feeling, what we're thinking in the natural. Well, that only ever has a natural result. If it's born, initiated by the natural, it only has natural results. But if we want to experience the promises and the power of God, it only comes from an unmovable convictions of faith in the word and in the power of God.
Yeah.
You know, one of the great deceptions and lies of the devil is that when you get old, it means you're going to get sick and weak, and probably in the last few years of your life, you're going to live in pain and misery and die of a disease. How many know that's common thinking? As you get old, but there's nothing in Scripture that says that at all. There's nothing in Scripture that says he won't provide for you once you get over the age of 65 or 70, or when you get to this. He's going to pull back on that. There's nothing on any of that. And Exodus 23, 25 through 26 is pretty interesting when you think about this in terms of age or whatever place, really. It says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take a sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land, and I will fulfill the number of your days. God's intention is that we walk through the full years of life that he intends and do so without sickness and disease and all the rest of it. David understood that. And in Psalm 102 and verse 24, he prays to the Lord, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Ecclesiastes 7:17 is very interesting. It says, do not be wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time?
Yeah.
The implication is if I continue in a sinful life and I make bad decisions that are contrary to the words of God, it could lead me to premature death. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody that dies young is the consequence of their own sinfulness or bad decisions, because God has a time frame for each of us, and it's different for different people. So it doesn't say that, but it's saying that if I don't walk in obedience to God, if I continue in my sinfulness when I know better and I make stupid decisions, well, it may be a key for premature death. How many know? But Psalm 104 and verse 29 says this is how you should die. It says, you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You don't die of sickness and disease. No, you die when he takes away your breath. Mm-hmm. And Job 5:26, you shall come to the grave at a full age. And what it means is at the full determined time that God has for us.
Yeah.
So we need to reject every mindset that talks about weakness and sickness and all of those kind of things as we age. Yeah, obviously, and physically, things do change to some degree, and we see that throughout the world. But that doesn't mean I've got to get sick or diseased, or I've got to be weak and frail and all of those kind of things. God, how many know God's faithful?
Yeah.
We have to move. See, faith is coming to the Word and having conviction based on that that defines the way I think, the way I speak, and what my expectation is. So what's the conclusion of all of this? Well, number one, that we being rooted and grounded in faith live totally free from all fear and anxiety and overcome every attack of sickness, disease, walking fully in victory, the victory that Jesus won for us at Calvary and through the resurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a picture of scripture or not?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yes.
So that means that's for you and that's for me. That's for everybody that comes to him.
Yeah.
That we live the whole of our life free from all the rubbish the devil puts on us and people put on us with their opinions, with their perspectives, the things the world wants to put on us. I hope you're getting something out of this.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon this could be life-changing.
Yeah.
Secondly, what's God's objective? Is that we, being like Jesus, will be overflowing with rivers of spirit life and power, really revealing the Father's will and glory. That's God's highest order for us. That we be conformed to the image of Christ. Jesus said, the works I do, you shall do also. And I will come to that in a minute. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. I'll just finish up with a couple of scriptures. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be seen to be of God and not of us.
Yeah.
In other words, what he's saying is that we've had a revelation of God, of Jesus, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, living in us. How many know he lives in you?
Yeah.
Jesus lives in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're just an empty earthen vessel. Well, we need to be empty so that he can fill us.
Yeah.
So the way we do life is a revelation of the power and glory of God. And so that people should look at us, see what we do, the way we talk, the way we walk, and say, well, that's not natural, that's obviously God. Or there's something crazy going on in their life. Or there's, I hope this community begins to realize there's something crazy is going on here, because we want something a bit more crazy to be going on here than what is right now. The manifestation of his power and glory and all of that. And that's what God has promised us. And it says, as I mentioned a moment ago in John 14, 12 through 14, most assuredly, Jesus said, most assuredly. So in other words, don't doubt this. This is for real. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That's how much God trusts us. And when I think of myself, I think, why would you trust me that much? It's crazy.
Yeah.
He trusts us, but we've got to believe in him and do the walk with him and all of that kind of thing. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? I've just dumped a whole lot of scripture. He sent his word and healed them. There's healing in the word. There's freedom in the word. There's life in the promises of God. What's he saying to you right now? You're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Coming into alignment with him that we might prove what's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I was called to go to a home of a guy. He's not a Christian. In fact, he started off by telling me he's an atheist, didn't believe in God. He's a doctor who had surgery on his spine that went bad. He's now crippled and he's now paralyzed from the waist down. But he was very open to the gospel. And when I said to him, I'd like to pray for you, lay hands on you, and he said, yeah, I'd be a fool not to allow you to do that, wouldn't I? So I prayed for him. And I'm just saying, I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You're going to recover, mate.
Yeah,
it's happening. And he's kind of like so open and so hungry, and so we're just going to do the journey with him. But I'm looking forward to the testimonies.
Yeah,
to the miracles.
Come on.
But how many know that sometimes we can, you know, like that woman with the goiter. Somebody lays hands on us, prays for us, or something happens, we pray for ourselves, and we don't see an immediate response. And so we kind of go, oh, it didn't work. We might not say that, but that becomes a bit of an internal attitude. And I believe God wants to just remove that from us this morning.
Yeah, great.
And in relation to your finance.
Yeah.
You know, we go through challenges with it. But his promise is, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all the things you need will be added to you.
Yeah.
And it says that he provides all of our needs out of the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not according to the riches, not out of the riches. So it's according to the riches. How we know he's the biggest billionaire on the planet. God owns everything. And he wants to provide for you according to his ability.
Yeah, that's good.
So don't believe that you've got to live tough in finance. Don't accept that. Believe God, stand on his word, walk in his ways. And it's the same with the other attacks on our life, whatever it may be, in your relationships or whatever it may be. Yeah, we've got to do the journey sometimes. It's tough. But if we'll keep standing on the word, declaring the word, declaring the promises of God, don't allow the enemy to get into our head and mess with our thinking so that we start declaring other things.
Yeah,
it might mean that, yes, you've got a condition that you need to talk to somebody about. I don't think that's wrong. But you don't want to be confessing it as yours and confessing it as an ongoing thing. We need to be saying, this is my condition, but he's healed me. In Jesus' name, because I was healed through the cross. By his stripes, you were healed. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You were set free. You were given victory over the enemy. You do rule and reign in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.